Mark chapter 2. I want to read from verse 1. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who could forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be back in Orange Park, Florida, here at Central Baptist Church. We do thank you for Brother Thrower's friendship, the confidence he's showed in allowing me to fill in for him. I pray that you'd make me a blessing to these, your people, this morning. I pray that everyone would have ears to hear. And Lord, if there's one here unsettled about eternity, we pray that they'd see their need of the Savior and come and trust Him before it's too late. We ask your blessings upon Brother Thrower and his family that they might enjoy the time together. Pray you would help us now. We're a needy people and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking there at that last phrase that we read there in the text. We never saw it on this fashion. Now, if you've been saved for any length of time, I'm almost certain you've heard somebody preach on that phrase, We never saw it on this fashion. Truly, this was a remarkable day when our Lord was here, gathered, was in the house, and folks gathered unto Him. And there was such a multitude that, and then our Lord healing this man, that many of them did go away rejoicing in the Lord, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. But I want to take this phrase and I want you to look at it in just a little different light than probably what you're looking at normally. By means of a little bit of introduction, I want to bring out just a couple of thoughts. What the Lord does do is amazing. Amen. Hey, our God is amazing in what He does. You think about an Old Testament scripture. Where Solomon was king over Israel, and the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, had come. She had heard about Solomon, heard about what Solomon had accomplished, and yet refused to believe until she herself came to view it for herself. And when she came, Solomon showed her all of his kingdom. And when she left, she went away marveling at what she had seen, with the attitude saying, the half's never been told. The half of what God had done through Solomon had not been told that truly what God had done through Solomon was amazing. There's a scripture in Habakkuk. You don't necessarily have to turn there if you'll trust me to read it to you. But in Habakkuk chapter 1, I want to read you a verse where he says here in verse 5, he says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." That truly what God does, you can tell folks what God has done, and they have trouble believing it. Amen? For truly what God does is amazing. It's remarkable. It's almost unbelievable. It's kind of like the idea you'd have to have been there to see it. Amen? You just cannot believe what God does. But now I want us to take that phrase, "We never saw it on this fashion," and I want you to look at it in just a little different light than what you're used to. When you think about this thought, "We never saw it on this fashion," there's some things they had never seen before. The first thing that comes to mind is, for the first time, they are seeing a preaching Jesus. Look back up in verse 1, Mark 2 and verse 1, where he says, "Again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door." Notice this. "And he preached the word unto them." They're seeing for the first time a preaching Jesus. By that I'm bringing out the thought that what they were used to seeing was the healing Jesus. The meek and lowly Jesus. Are you following my thought, amen? Hey, what they were used to was the benevolent Jesus. The one who healed the sick and fed the poor and all these kind of things. But now they're not seeing a benevolent Jesus. They're seeing for the first time, they're seeing a preaching Jesus. When you think about our Lord, He did not come to just to heal the sick or to wipe out poverty. In fact, He told His disciples in another passage, He said, "The poor you'll have with you always." But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the means by which He uses is the preaching of the Word of God. They're seeing for the first time a preaching Jesus. You know, we've got a movement today within the quote-unquote religious world to where folks don't want preaching. They want anything but preaching. In fact, they'll advertise saying, "Come here, we don't preach to you." You know what I'm trying to say. Amen. We've got them where they're all smiles and they pat everybody on the back and everybody gets a warm, fuzzy sensation and they all go out not changed at all. Amen. They go out the same way they come in. They're maybe in a little better mood, made to feel a little bit better about themselves. It's kind of like the fella in Houston. I'm not calling names, but where he refuses to preach on sin, refuses to preach much of anything. It's kind of this positive ego kind of thing where he makes everybody feel good and he's filled up a stadium doing it. Hey, our Lord didn't come to make folks just feel good. He didn't come just to give you a warm, fuzzy sensation. He came that you might be saved, amen? And for you to be saved, it's going to take preaching. You know, sometimes we get disheartened in what we see, but what we're seeing is the wrong thing. We need to see that our Lord is a preacher, amen? That He came preaching the Word of God. Folks will flock for the wrong reasons. Hey, you can have a, and I'm not against gospel singing, but you can have a gospel sing. And advertisers, going to be no preaching, we're just singing. And folks will flock, they'll pack it out to come here singing. Hey, they'll fill a convention center. They'll pay high dollar for tickets at a convention center to hear three or four groups, you know, with gospel singing. Am I telling this right? Amen? folks, you can advertise, you come, we're having dinner on the grounds. A lot of folks, they don't come to hear the preaching, they come for the dinner on the grounds. Amen. Give me the chicken leg. Amen. Hey, folks, you could set up a tent and advertise a healing line. And folks will flock to get in that healing line. But hey, what it takes is preaching. You can increase numbers with programs, but you'll never get them saved without preaching. Amen. Everybody's writing a how-to book. When I did pastor, I used to get these. I imagine Brother Thor get these things in the mail. How to increase your attendance. And, they'd give you this easy 10-step program. If you'd put this into effect, boy, you can increase your numbers. Well, what I've learned through 23 years of pastoring and almost 11 years on the road, what I've learned is that not everything that's increasing is growing. Sometimes it's swelling. Some of you got that. If you're a hunter, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, dead things don't grow, they swell. Amen. Hey, you find a possum on the road or a deer on the road and it's been there for a while. Hey, it's increased, but it's not growing, it's swelling. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of programs you can put into effect that will increase, but it's not necessarily that folks are growing. Amen. Hey, what does it take? It takes preaching. Did not Paul say that he come to preach? Did not our Lord talk about the need of preaching, that He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost? Put a marker here in Mark chapter 2 and look over in the Gospel of John with me. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And it's the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And look at, if you would, John 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him. But now notice, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. They didn't come for preaching. They came because of the miracles, because of the healing. See it again, a little different light. Look if you would, in verse 26. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." There was a physical benefit. They were coming for a physical benefit. They were coming because their bellies were filled. They were coming because Aunt Susie was healed. Are you getting this? Amen. Hey, they weren't coming for preaching. The last thing they wanted was preaching. I can prove it. Look in verse 60. John 6 and verse 60. Many, therefore, disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" See, after Jesus broke the bread and broke the fish and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. Boy, a fish fry where everybody went away full. Amen? And they gathered up 12 baskets of fragments. But after He fed the multitudes, He began to preach unto them. And when He began to preach unto them, many of them went away saying, "Boy, that's a hard saying." Amen. Look at verse 66, where Jesus says to His disciples, in verse 66, "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" I like what Peter said. He's, "Where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Hey, but now, they went away because of the preaching, the hard sayings. Well, can you look at Mark 2? And there is a multitude gathered. There's such a crowd gathered there that these four men bearing this palsied man couldn't even bring him in through normal means because of the press of people, the multitude of people. But they weren't coming for preaching. They were coming for a physical benefit. They were coming that somebody might be healed. The last thing they had on their minds was preaching, to where when they went away, they said, "Boy, we never saw it on this fashion." Amen. Hey, you could pack a place full as long as you didn't preach, as long as you made folks feel good. Amen. It's a characteristic of the last days, where they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Folks don't want it told straight. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, "I've got bad news." You usually tell the doctor, "Give it to me straight." You don't want him to beat around the bush to get to where you want it told up front what it is. But now when it comes to preaching, folks don't want it told like it is. Amen. Hey, just make me feel good, preacher. Give me a warm, fuzzy sensation. Make me feel better about myself. But hey, Jesus preached unto them. Amen. And preaching will work on you. I know it works on me. Amen. Hey, it takes preaching. I'd still be a hell-bound sinner, lost on my way to devil's hell, had not I gotten under preaching. Amen. Hey, the preaching of the Word of God showed me I wasn't that good fellow I thought I was. Hey, I worked at Ford Motor Company. I wasn't a carouser. I wasn't a drunkard. I wasn't a dope head. I didn't even know what a roach clip was. I thought it was some new way of catching roaches. Amen. Hey, that's how naive I was. Hey, I wasn't a dope head. Are you following me? I went to work every day. I brought the monies home. I took care of my family. I was even a good church member. I went twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Amen. Hey, but I got under that preaching. And under the preaching of the Word of God, the Lord showed me the enmity of the flesh. Showed me how I was against God, warring against God. That I needed a Savior, that I was on my way to devil's hell. Hey, I thank God that I sat under preaching, and through the preaching of the Word of God, God reached down where I was and lifted me up, saved my never-dying soul. Amen? But it takes preaching. You and I need to be under preaching. After I was saved, there were things I needed to learn. How did I learn them? I learned them through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. They saw for the first time a preaching Jesus. You know, in this society we're in, we're in such hard times that folks won't even take the baby Jesus anymore. Used to be that you could set out a manger scene in the community. And folks would think, "Boy, isn't that nice, a manger scene?" But they don't even want the baby Jesus anymore. They don't want the meek and lowly Jesus. They don't want much of anything to do with Jesus. But they especially in today's society do not want a preaching Jesus. I'm sure a lot of them went away saying, "Oh, we never heard that before. We never saw it on that fashion before." Amen. They saw the first time a preaching Jesus. But preaching is what we need. Amen. You and I, since we've been saved, what we need is preaching. But notice the second thing. Keeping that phrase in mind, we never saw it on this fashion. No, not only did they see a preaching Jesus, but they also saw a participating people. They saw this palsied man born of four. Four men working together with a common goal. A participating people. You know, it's hard to get folks to participate in anything to do with God. Everybody wants to be a spectator and not a participator. I believe when I say, "Boy, if you'd nod your heads or say amen, it'd help me a whole lot." Amen. I'm preaching in the South, I think. In Florida, in the South. I go up north and they're more reserved. I go out to Kansas and they're... But in the South, y'all at least nod your heads. Amen. Hey, when I was here, it was the World Series time, and Tampa Bay was in the World Series. Okay, you know, sports fans are funny people. When your team wins, you hear them report it like this: "Well, we really whooped up on them, didn't we?" Funny, I didn't see you throwing any pitches. Are you following me? But if your team loses, them sorry rascals, they couldn't win if they tried. Am I telling this right, amen? That's sports fans, okay? But when you picture the sports fans, hey, they're all spectators. Amen? Well, when it comes to the Lord's work, Lord's not looking for spectators. We ought to be participators. Amen. Didn't we read that there was a press of people, a multitude of people? You try and picture this in your mind. How many people passed that palsied man? Amen. A multitude of people passed that palsied man. But there are four that worked together trying to get him to Jesus, participating together to bring that man to Jesus. Now, to bring him to Jesus was not an easy task. You know what I hear from folks? Well, it's just not easy to witness to folk nowadays. It wasn't easy for them four to bring him to Jesus. But they pulled together doing what was needful, what was necessary, whatever it took to get him to Jesus. Now, let's assume something. These four men could very well have known one another. In fact, the four may have been coming together to the house. Okay? But it may have, well, just as easily have been that they really didn't know one another. Okay? Can you picture the palsied man laying there on his bed? And one man comes up and sees him laying there and knows that he's heard about a man named Jesus. If he could get this palsied man to Jesus, Jesus could help the palsied man. Well, one man is too great a task for just one. I hear folks talking about, we hired the preacher for that. No, you didn't hire the preacher for anything. He's not a hireling. He's a shepherd, an under-shepherd. Amen. Hey, I'm glad you're sitting here. But one man, it's too great a task. So he motions somebody, come over and help us. And so a second man comes. And it's still too great a task for the two. So they recruit a third man. And then a fourth man. And the four make it easier than it was for just the one. Amen. Hey, I'm not making light of it. I'm not telling you that it's not difficult times. But what I am telling you is if we'll pull together and participate together, we can bring them to Jesus. We can see them saved. Amen? Hey, these four were working together. It's hard. It's hard in anything to get folks to work together because we're all too self-conscious of ourselves. We want the recognition. We want the notoriety. We want folks to take note of what we're doing. Hey, when it gets about what we're doing, it's already failed. Because it's never been about us. It'll never be about us. It's about that man named Jesus who it was noise about that he was in the house. Amen. Hey, when you tell folks about Central Baptist Church, thank God you've got a good pastor. Thank God you've got a friendly congregation. But hey, this thing about Central Baptist Church, it's not about you and it's not about the pastor. It's all about Him. It's all about the Savior. Amen. You ought to tell folks, hey, the Lord's in the house. God meets with us every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. Hey, you ought to come to Central Baptist Church because the Lord's in the house. Amen. Hey, but we get too concerned about us. And if we're concerned about us, we'll never get that man to Jesus. But these four work together. Now notice something else about these four. And it stands out very evidently. Look in verse 5 there in Mark 2 again. Look at verse 5. Where it says, and when Jesus saw their faith. Now that is a key phrase. These four believed Jesus could do something. When the Lord saw their faith. Well, I used to pastor up in Bonaire, Georgia. Somebody said, where's that at? Well, it's outside of Warner Robins, Georgia. 6 miles from Robins Air Force Base. South of Macon, off of I-75. But now, the thing that battled there in Bonaire was, the folks had this attitude, well, we're just a little country church sitting by the highway. Hey, it's not just a little country church, it's a great work for God. Amen. Well, see, they were already defeated before they ever started. I read many years ago, and I had his name and lost it. I can see his face. But I read about, he was a basketball coach for the Knicks, for the New York Knicks. And this, many years ago when the Knicks were, they were in the playoffs, NBA playoffs. Now you don't have to like basketball to understand the illustration. But I can remember reading where, the Knicks lost and they lost bad. And they interviewed the coach and the coach said, well, they went out on the court as though they were already defeated. They couldn't believe they'd win. And so they lost big. What are you saying? I'm saying that's how you and I get in the Lord's work. We're already defeated before we start. We get to thinking about all the mega churches. And all the ones that are increasing in number. And we begin to think, what can we do? Can you picture those four men again and the palsied man? And they come to him and say, well, ain't no point trying to lift him up. We'd never get him in there anyway. Are you getting it? Huh? Even when all four of them get together saying, well, if we do lift him up, we'll never get in the... That crowd. Look at that crowd. Huh? Hey, but they knew that Jesus could help that man, and they had enough faith that they went against all odds, took whatever it took to get the man in. They broke through the roof. They lowered him down. They had to work together to get it done, but they got him to Jesus. They believed Jesus could help that man. Amen. Hey, you and I, we're already defeated before we get started. Well, we've been here all this time and, you know, it's the same little flock, but we sure have a good time of fellowship and you know, but we're just this little flock. Hey, God can do great things. Amen. When the Lord saw their faith, you've got to believe that He can. You remember when Abraham, the Lord told Abraham in Genesis 17 that Sarah would bear him a son, and Sarah's in the tent, overhears it, and she begins to laugh. She said, yeah, sure, tell me another one. How many 89-year-old women are going to be found with children? Found with child, huh? Said, tell me another one. My Lord's 99 and I'm 89, and yeah, next year we're going to have a son. Yes, sure enough. She laughed at God. But you read in that story when God confronted her, she said, I didn't laugh. Well, I said, well, I didn't laugh. But the question come up, is anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible says about Abraham that he staggered not in unbelief, was strong in faith, believing that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Hey, is your God limited? Hey, is your God able? Amen. Hey, listen to me. If God's big enough to resurrect from the dead, if He's big enough to conquer death, hell, and the grave, He's big enough to save sinners. Amen. Hey, our God's able. In fact, there in Jeremiah 32, it says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing impossible with our God. When the Lord saw their faith, we've got to overcome this thing of unbelief. Well, you know, it just ain't going to happen. Who says so? Our God's still on the throne. Amen. Hey, if He can do it in one place, He can do it in another. Hey, the difference is, do you believe God? What hinders God is unbelief. It says two times in Mark and in Matthew, He says that the Lord could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Amen. Hey, when the Lord saw their faith, a participating people believing that their God could do the impossible. Amen. Amen. Well, notice the third thing. And it is remarkable to see folks work together. It is remarkable to see folks that believe God can do something. But there's a third thing. We never saw it on this fashion. Not only did they see a participating people and see a preaching Jesus, but the third thing is they saw a palsied man. Now, here's what I'm getting at. It wasn't unusual to see a man in need. There were probably many palsied men. Probably many that had infirmities. Amen? But what I'm wanting you to look at is this. That this palsied man realized he had a need. The thing is, it's hard to find anybody having a need. Nobody needs anything nowadays. Nobody needs anything from God. See, this man, can you picture the four again? And they're trying to get him to Jesus. Could you see this man if those four tried to lift him up saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Let me back down. Don't bother me. Go about your way. And he'd have died a palsied man. Amen? Well, how many people have you talked to? How many have you met that you try to tell them about a Savior that can save them from their sin? And they say, go about your way. Don't bother me. Just let me alone. Hey, I'm doing all right. Nobody needs anything. Amen? It's what I'm trying to bring out is this. See, I pastored in the South. And the biggest thing I fought outside the church was Everybody was saved. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Well, if everybody I met was saved, we'd have to build bigger churches. Amen? I got to the point where I quit asking them if they saved because everybody was saved. Amen? I'll tell you something funny. Is that we visited some folks that told us they were members of my church. I said, well, who's the pastor there? That was mean, wasn't it? That's an old Jacob coming up in me. Hey, what did he say? Hey, everybody was saved. Everybody was right. Nobody had a need. I got away from that and I got to the point of asking, hey, you know, heaven forbid, but if you drop dead, where are you going to be? If you breathe your last breath, your heart beat its last beat, where are you going to be? puts it in a different light, doesn't it? See, nobody needs anything. Now, I believe there can be such a thing as a deathbed conversion. But what's sad is too many are waiting for that deathbed conversion, and they may wait too long. Nobody has a need. Hey, they'll come in the church. Nobody has a need. You know where they learn it from? They see it in you and I. We don't need anything. I can prove it to you. We've gotten away from... you could just about take the altar call out. Because ain't nobody coming no way. Everybody's all right. Well, I felt to get quiet then. Huh? Hey, the altar isn't just because you have a need. But I dare say every one of us have needs. If the truth be known, we're still just palsied people. Amen. Hey, if it wasn't for God, we'd still be on that bed of affliction. Am I telling this right? Hey, we are a needy people. But we go through life as though we need nothing. The sun's always coming up. The sun's always going down. There'll always be a tomorrow. When in reality, we need God every day. In fact, the hymn talks about, I need Thee every hour. You could break it down. Hey, we need Him all the time. Amen. Hey, we're needy people, but nobody needs anything anymore. I remember when the Lord saved me, I was in a little country church, and I remember them old timers. I mean, they'd go to the altar and they'd weep. And it wasn't necessarily that they themselves had a need. Oftentimes they'd weep over a daughter or a wayward son or, something, but they'd be at the altar looking to God because they had a need. But nowadays, hey, you give an invitation and folks are zipping their Bibles. In the winter, they're putting on their coats. If it's raining, they're getting an umbrella ready. They're thinking about who's playing in the game, what mama's fixing for dinner. The last thing they got on their mind is a need with God or a need to meet with God. Hey, that palsied man, he realized he had a need. The sinner won't get saved till he sees he has a need. And you and I won't get right with God till we see we have needs. And we won't see God do great things until we realize, hey, we're still a needy people. We're a palsied people in need of a great Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, since that went over so well, let's move on. Hey, they said, we never saw it on this fashion, a preaching Jesus, a participating people, a palsied man. But how about this, when you look at it, they're seeing a pardoning from sin. In fact, they're insulted. They actually had the idea of who can forgive sins but God. Well, that's who the Savior is. But they're seeing a pardoning from sin. You know, a lot of these were steeped in the Jewish religion. They kept the feast days. They kept the Sabbath days. They went through the rituals. Are you following me? Amen. They're steeped in religion. But as you and I are well aware of, as Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us, that the sacrifices that they would bring could never take away sin. That Israel, even the high priest himself, before he could offer for the nation of Israel, had to offer for his own sin. And then when he did offer, it was just a pardoning of it for the next year. And every year they'd have to bring another sacrifice. And so it was, every year they'd have to keep bringing sacrifices. Never anything that lasted. Amen. But hey, they're seeing something real now. They're seeing not just a temporary thing. But they're seeing a full and free pardon. The proof is the man takes up his bed and walks. A full pardon of sin. I preached in some jails. I thought you'd say, well, maybe were you in there? I was in there preaching. It's a funny feeling when you hear them doors lock. Amen. But I preached in some jails. Now, those men that are in there, whether they're rightfully there or not, you know, once they're in there, nobody's rightfully there, you know. But when they get out, they're always known as an ex-con. They're marked. Even if they're in there and they get a pardon from the governor or a pardon from the president or whatever, they're still known as an ex-con. But you know what's remarkable? Is that when you and I receive the pardon that He offers, there's no ex to it. No ex to it. Hey, that's the first song. I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. Hey, the old things are passed away. All things have become new. It's not just a yearly pardoning, but it's, hey, the slate's wiped clean. Everything's forgiven. Though my sins were scarlet, they're as white as snow. Amen. It is a full pardoning of sin. That's what happens when you come to this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. A pardoning, a full pardoning from sin. That's the last thought, and I'm done. Brother did say we have plenty of time for preaching. I'm just doing what I heard. They saw a preaching Jesus, a participating people. That's where we need to be. They saw a palsied man and a pardoning from sin. But the last thought, we never saw it on this fashion. They saw real, genuine praises for the Savior. A praising of the Savior. You know, it's easy for you and I to get caught up in the age. Murmuring and complaining. Nothing's right. Every day, you know, the weather's not right. The government's not right. The job's not right. The health's not right. Am I right? You know, I can prove it to you. You ever ask somebody, how's it going, friend? Only to go away saying, why'd I ever ask him, how's it going? Nothing's ever right. If the sun's shining, it's too hot. If it's raining, it's too wet. If it's winter, it's too cold. Hey, no matter who's in the government, they're always wrong. I'm glad my hope's in a higher source. I'm not looking to November. I'm looking to something higher. Amen. We're prone to complain. We're murmuring about something. Well, you know, it's my back. I hurt my back. Or, well, my feet are sore. I'm tired. And it's always something. Amen. Hey, wouldn't you like to meet somebody and they're smiling, saying, boy, God is good, isn't He? You could have a sore back, tired feet. You could have gotten discouraging news. Hey, the politics is bad. The economy's bad. There's no hope in the world. Hey, but God's still God. Amen. Hey, they saw a people praising God. You and I, we can get caught up in that saying, oh, this economy sure is bad. I don't know. Well, these things are rough. The gas keeps going up and the dollar doesn't stretch as far. And now we're going to have new taxes put on us and all this other kind of stuff. And the government's bad. The weather's bad. My health is bad. And all this is bad. But, hey, Won't you come to church with me Sunday? Huh? You know what folks are looking for? We never saw it on this fashion. Somebody that can show a real Savior to a needful world. I don't care what the problem is, He's the answer. I don't care what you're facing, He's the solution. Hey, instead of concentrating on how bad everything is, why don't we concentrate on how good He is? Hey, He's the best. There's nobody like Him. Folks that say, "Boy, we never saw it on that fashion. As bad as everything's going and they're praising God." Never saw it on this fashion. Hey, when you go to work, instead of complaining about how you're not getting paid what you're worth, some of y'all thank God for that. Humor helps. Instead, you know, all the bad things, talk about, hey, you know, we sure do have a great God. Let me tell you about how He saved me. God sure is a good God. They saw a people praising God. That's what the world needs to see. They don't see it on that fashion. Everybody's caught up too much in circumstance. Well, we need to be caught up in the God who holds the circumstance. They saw real praise for the Savior. Hey, when you come to church, don't come out of duty. That's a good thing. But come with a praise. Come with anticipation. Come ready to tell somebody how good God's been to you since the last time you saw Him. Praise for the Savior. Let's stand. To come with an invitation, I don't know if the brothers come with a song. Father, we do thank You for the illustration we find in the Word of God. And I believe that they really never did see it on that fashion. I pray that You'd help us to take it to heart. If folks could see something in us where they could say we never saw it on this fashion. Pray if there is one palsied individual, one in need of the Savior, pray we'd help to bring them to Jesus. Pray that You'd help us now on this invitation. Be honest before You. Every one of us have needs. Every one of us need to be looking to You. But especially that one that needs the Savior. Pray You'd speak to him and draw him. Help us now and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brother has a song. 837.